Reading is taken from the Epistle of St. Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verse 1 to 13. Hear the word of the Lord. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you, that is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to men in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy prophets, apostles and prophets. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of His power. Although I am the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God, who created all things. His intent was that now, through the Church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to His eternal purpose, which He accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In Him, and through faith in Him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you, therefore, not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. This is the word of God.
Paul's letter to the Ephesians, and this morning we come to chapter 3 and verse 1 through to verse 13. I hope that you'll keep your Bibles open in front of you. It really is a magnificent passage. I just want to give you, just for a moment, the background to this passage that may help you when you're going through it at home. In the two previous chapters that we have gone through on Sunday mornings, we have understood just something of the wonder of the gospel. That God has come to you and to me, who were dead in our sin, who were enslaved to the world, who were separated from God, and in His mercy, through the finished work of Christ on the cross, we have been reconciled to the Father. But that isn't all. We also saw that through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, He has now abolished all those things that separated the Gentiles and the Jews. It has been abolished. It has been taken away. So that today, through faith in Christ alone, for any person that does that, they are now brought into a new family. It's an international family. It's a multiracial family. It's a multicultural family. There are people from all spheres of life, all different languages, all different colors. And the marvelous thing is that through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, He forms this new family. Now, Paul, when he wrote these words, is overwhelmed with his writing. You must always remember that Paul wrote with his heart. And when he's writing these things for us, as he's inspired by the Spirit, and he comes into chapter 3, he's overwhelmed with what he's written. It's so magnificent, it's so awesome, it's so glorious that all he can do is come on his knees in prayer. and he prays to his Father. But brothers and sisters, there was one little step before he does that. And in chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 13, which I'm going to try and cover with you this morning, he becomes personal. He becomes very personal. He's actually going to come and say to us, I want to tell you how this grace has come to me. That what Jesus has done on the cross has changed my life. So verse 1 to verse 13 is very personal. I've entitled my sermon for you this morning, Paul's Unique Privileges. He's going to tell us what God has done for him. And then next Sunday at our family service, we are going to deal with you from verse 14 to verse 20 and listen to the apostle as he prays. So today, 1 to 13, his own personal experiences. Verse 14 to 20, the magnificent prayer that Paul now prays. Is that alright? So now you know where I'm going this morning. I hope you find it of great help to you in your walk with Jesus. So let's come then to my first thing. There are just 2 points this morning. But the first thing this morning that we want you to notice is this. The mystery was made known to him. And that's in verse 1 to verse 6. Now let me take you through those verses, friends. Come with me as we listen to every word that comes to us out of the heart of God. Look how he begins in verse 1. Did you notice that? He says, for this reason. Now that links our study this morning with what we have done since we started in January. For this reason. The question, of course, is what reason is Paul talking about here? Well, the reason is when he sits down and he tries to think through this incredible thing that Jesus has done. That for centuries the Jewish people were always seen as the chosen people. All of those regulations in the law, those dietary regulations, those things that you could eat and couldn't eat, this is what you had to do here and what you had to do there, this sacrifice, this festival, all of that's been abolished. And Jesus comes and he says, I am now the way. I am the perfect sacrifice. I am the perfect offering. Through faith in Jesus, this new community is going to come into being. That Jesus has abolished the alienation that there was between the Jew and the Gentile, it's gone. And that Jesus has abolished the alienation that there was between the Gentile and God. Both of these have been done away with through his work on the cross. For this reason. He says, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus. That's another staggering thing that strikes us, doesn't it? Humanly speaking, of course, Paul was not Christ's prisoner. He was the prisoner of Nero, the Roman emperor. And you will remember that we've all read things of Nero, a very cruel man. His nation was crumbling and he put all the blame on the Christians. And he went through a period of tremendous persecution against the church. So Paul is imprisoned by Nero. He's about to die. The Romans are going to kill him. But you know how Paul saw himself. He doesn't see himself as a prisoner of Nero. He says, I am the prisoner of Christ Jesus. It's an amazing thing, isn't it? Why is that? The reason, friends, is because Paul saw the sovereignty of God over every single area of his life. It's all he knew. Jesus is in control. It's Jesus who wants me in prison. It's for the gospel of Jesus that I'm here. It's because I preached the cross of Jesus that Nero can't stand me. It's because of all the work that I'm suffering for Christ. But the main thing was, he knew that the Lord is in control, that Jesus is sovereign, that no one can touch him outside of the permission of King Jesus, that nothing can happen to him without Christ giving the authority. Terrific assurance and security. So for this reason, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, as I mentioned to you when I introduced this passage, in verse 2, he gets very personal. And he says, surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul says, in chapter 1 and 2, I told you of what God has done for this world in Christ. But you have also heard of how it touched my life. And my dear brothers and sisters this morning, there were two ways in which the grace of God did touch Paul. The one way, of course, that we all know, was when the grace of God saved him. He was a rabbi. He was a Pharisee. He was a Jew just steeped in his tradition, making more progress than any other of his age around the world, guaranteed to get to the top of his profession. Not only that, he was the chief persecutor of the church. So he has a rabbi, a Pharisee, a persecutor. He says, you know, my friends, you have heard of God's grace to me. I was on that road to Damascus when the grace of Jesus Christ touched my life. I was never the same after that. My sins were washed away and I came into a saving knowledge of God. Oh, the grace of God to me. But God's grace didn't only call him to Jesus. The grace of God also commissioned him. And that's what he tells us in verse 3. That is, the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I've already written briefly. In reading this, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. So the grace of God didn't only save him, but the grace of God now called Paul to go and to tell others about this great gospel that has been made clear to him by revelation. What I want you to notice, if you will, is this. See verse 3, that it was a mystery. Did you highlight that in your Bibles? It was a mystery. That has puzzled Bible readers for many years. What does it mean, this mystery that Paul was to preach? Well, in a sense, we could say that throughout the Old Testament, it was mentioned that God had a purpose for the Gentiles. It was there. For example, remember in Genesis 12, God came to Abram and said, through you, the world is going to be blessed. But it wasn't clear. It wasn't strong. So that especially, friends, especially the fact that Jesus, when he came to earth and he died on the cross, was to do something that was so radical. And what was it? Remember we touched on it last Sunday, that the theocracy, that is, the Jewish nation under God's rule, is going to be terminated, and it was going to be replaced with a new international community, which was the church. That's how radical it was. That mystery was not made clear throughout the Old Testament. But now it's clear. God has made it clear to Paul. The gospel is not just for the Jews. The gospel is for all people. The gospel is not just for a select group. It's for everybody. It's for the Jew and it's for the Gentile. The chosen people of God are now those that have put their trust in Christ. They form a brand new society called the church. Now, this mystery had four connotations to it. He tells us here. The first thing is that the Gentiles were going to become fellow heirs. See that in verse 6. The Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. Number 2, that they are members together of one body. Heirs together, members together. Point 3, that they are sharers together. Heirs together, members together, sharers together in the promise. That is the mystery. How is this going to make clear to the world, friends? Point 4, it's by the gospel. It's by the gospel. See verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, this wonderful message of the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ, the mystery is going to be made clear throughout the world. And what Paul is saying here, dear brothers and sisters, is that God has shown me mercy and God has shown me grace, not only in saving my life, but in trusting me with this gospel, that I might go throughout the known world. And he went to Cappadocia, and he went to Phrygia, and he went to Pontus, and he went to Asia, and he went to Macedonia, and he went to Greece, and he went to Spain, and he went to Cyprus, and he went to Rhodes, and he went to Malta. He went right around that Roman world. Why? Brothers and sisters, why? For one reason. He believed the gospel. He believed the gospel. A very kind brother. He's not here now, so I can say it. He gave me at the earlier service a biography that's just been published. It was so kind of him. I was very grateful. But you know, I was just glancing through it in between the services, and the title is this, A Passion for Souls. It's the life of D.L. Moody. I can't wait for the service to end. I want to go and start reading it. I love biographies, and I haven't read this one. It's just come out, and I'm looking forward to reading it. But what gripped me was the title. You see, friends, he had a passion. So Paul, whenever you read the letters, all these letters, they are missionary letters written to the churches that he has established. How did he establish them? Through the gospel. Everything's through the gospel. Everything happens by the gospel. People are converted by the gospel. And when you and I preach the gospel, what happens? What happens? Jews and Gentiles, black and white, educated, uneducated, Chinese, Japanese, Korean, Tibetans, name the lot. When they hear this gospel and put their trust in Christ, we are all drawn into one huge family that is called the church. Isn't this incredible? This is what the church should be. In a sense, our church here at Christ Church Pinetown ought to be such a marvelous example out there to our world, where there's racial tension, divisions, heartaches, and so on. We are saying, if we could say that, look at the church. Look at the grace of God, who brings people from all these different backgrounds and brings them together into a family. Oh, I pray, friend, that you are part of that family. So, let's wrap up point A. If you were at Trinity Academy, I'd say to you, write it down in your notes. What would I want you to write down? This phrase. Always have confidence in the gospel. Always have confidence in the gospel. That's what it does. That's what it does. It changes lives. And it brings us into a family. Amen? Oh, amen. Alright, let's come to number two. There are just two things this morning. Now from verse 7 to verse 13, he tells us the other personal aspect in his life. Now just look with me at verse 7, will you? He says, I became a servant of this gospel. By the gift of God's grace given to me through the working of His power. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So the second thing I leave with you is ministry was entrusted to Paul. Now look at that opening phrase in verse 7. Paul says, I became a servant of this gospel. We are very privileged today, aren't we, friends? We've got all of these different translations that are available for us to read. And if I may say that to you with humility, the old King James Version is better in verse 7. It says this, whereof I was made a minister. I like that. It sounds better than I became. I was made. You see what Paul is saying? That just like the potter, Jesus took my life. A rabbi, a persecutor, a Pharisee. And he took me, and he molded me, and he shaped me, and he made me a servant of the gospel. And that's so encouraging, that the same Jesus that made Paul is using the same tools to make you and me. We feel inadequate. We feel desperately weak. But you know what I hold on to? Those words of Jesus. Where Jesus said to his disciples, he said this, follow me. I will make you into a fisher of men. I will make you. We are different from the other religions. Jesus doesn't say, sort yourself out, get rid of this habit, fix that up, get that out of your life, then come. No. Jesus says, follow me, and I'll make you. I'll do it. I will take you, and I will make you. If my mom was here this morning, she would tell you that at school, I was less than useless at poetry. But by God's grace, I've been able to learn just one poem in my life. Can I tell you that poem? Yeah, you ready? If I forget it, you can help me out. Well, no. It goes like this. It was battered is scarred. And the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on the old violin. But he held it up and he said, good folks, what do you bid me for this old violin? A dollar. We'll make it two. $2? We'll make it three. $3 going. But no. Out from the back of the crowd came a grey-haired man, and he took the old violin, and he strummed a melody that was pure and sweet as a caroling angel sings. The music ceased, and then the auctioneer said, now, good folks, what do you bid me for this old violin? $1,000. Who'll make it two? $2,000 going and gone. The people cheered. But some of them said, but what changed its worth? Quick came the reply, it was the touch of the master's hand. Yeah, that makes your hair stand up, doesn't it? Just gives you goose pimples down your back, man. You see, that was poor. My life was worth a dollar. I was nothing. I was a rabbi. I was a persecutor. I was a nothing. And God's grace made me into what? A servant. We are nothing more and nothing less than servants, friends. We are servants of the gospel. That's one of the big things that Africa continues to wrestle over. Everybody wants power. Everybody wants authority. Everybody wants to be number one. But in godly circles, godliness comes through being a servant. We are here as a servant. And Paul says, God's grace made me into a servant of the gospel. Who was he? Look at verse 8. Although I am less than the least of all God's people, this grace was given to me. Oh, my friends, I wish I had the gifts to explain that lovely verse to you. You see, what changed Paul? He says it was the working of his power. I don't want to sound like a larny, but through the working, the Greek word there is energia. Of his power, the work there is dunamis. So through the energy of God's power, which comes through his grace, I'm not the man I used to be. That's what he's saying. God's power has changed my life. Who am I? I'm nothing. I'm less than the least. Who teaches English here? Anybody teach English? Thank goodness. Do you know why? Listen to this. Just for your interest. You can go and read this up in the commentaries. When he speaks on the less than the least, this is what's happening. The Apostle Paul takes the superlative, least or smallest, and he does what is impossible linguistically, but it is possible theologically. And he turns it into a comparative. What he's really saying is, God has done this to me, who am the least of the less of the least. Now that's bad English. That's why I don't want any English teachers to listen to that. But now you've got it. Linguistically it's impossible. Theologically it's spot on. That's all we are. Who are we? We're servants. Who are we? We are less than the least of the least. All the glory is God's marvelous grace who has come to our lives and saved us and commissioned us. Now why did God do this, friends? Why did God save Paul and why has God saved you? Well, we better get back to the outline. There are the three reasons. Reason number one, so that he would make known Christ's riches to all the Gentiles. Isn't that a lovely verse 8? To make plain to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches in Christ. That's our message. We are not politicians. We are not social workers. We are gospel preachers. That's how we work. And what is our message? We want to tell people about the unsearchable riches which they are in Jesus Christ. For any sinner that comes to Christ, think of some of them. Forgiveness, justification, sanctification, glorification, the presence of God. You're going home into heaven. His presence is with you day by day. His grace is with you day by day. All the riches that they are in Christ. Paul says, that's why God has saved my life. To make known those riches to the Gentiles. Number two. And verse 9, to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery. We are going to explain the mystery that in Jesus there's one family. No one group can say anymore they are the special chosen people. That's a finished. There's now a new community and a new society of people who live under the kingship of Jesus. And lastly, number three, that's an amazing thought. Our time is going by here too quickly. Making known God's wisdom to the cosmic powers. Think of this now, just for a second. How are the cosmic powers, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places, how are they going to understand God's wisdom? Well, some people may say, look at creation. And it's wonderful. Yes, it is. And it will tell you something. But you want to understand the wisdom of God? Look at the church. Look at Jesus' church. What wisdom. What a miracle. And he takes boys and girls, moms and dads, people from every tribe, every language, every nation, and through faith in King Jesus, he makes them one glorious family. God has touched my life to tell people about the riches of Jesus, to clarify the mystery, and to show the world how glorious the true church is. John Stott put it like this. Jesus' church is now a multiracial, multicultural community. It's just like a beautiful tapestry. Its members come from a wide range of colorful backgrounds. No other human community resembles it. Its diversity and its harmony are unique. It is God's new society. Created by God to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, my friends, let me close. We sang that hymn just now. Oh, the depth of the mercy of God. That ought to be one of your theme songs. God has had mercy to me and to you. He sent his precious Son. And the moment you surrender your life to that Jesus Christ, become a new man and a new woman. And you are drawn into a wonderful family, the family of God. And we long now to be a testimony out there to the world of what Jesus Christ can do. Let us pray. Oh, Father God, how we praise you for this great and wonderful gospel that transformed Saul of Tarsus and made him into Paul the Apostle. Thank you for the gospel that has abolished all those laws and rituals that caused division between the Jews and the Gentiles have all gone, because now you are creating a new family. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for touching so many of our lives here this morning, for making us your children, for bringing us into the family of God's people. Won't you send us now into Pinetown, into KwaZulu-Natal, into the ends of the earth, inviting people to come to be touched by the Master's hand, to find new life in Christ, and to become part of God's new society, the church. Oh, may we not sit back, but be those who have a passion as servants of the gospel to bring others to know and to love him. And we pray this in the name and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.